The UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, issued its latest synthesis report this week. The report, which summarizes key research from the past 5 years, has been described as a final warning as rising global temperatures threaten the future of human life on Earth. Climate experts from around the world, along with a wide range of people and organizations, have called for urgent changes to drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions, including a rapid shift away from fossil fuels. Even so, powerful players linked to oil, gas, and coal have managed to delay climate action for decades, meaning that some effects of climate change are now inevitable. Changes linked to the global climate crisis are already being felt around the world, with extreme weather events like Hurricane Fiona, which hit Atlantic Canada last September. Now, a Sackville-based organization has launched a new internet-based toolkit to help people in the region adapt to rising sea levels and extreme weather events. Climate Atlantic started operations in 2021 with funding from the federal government. It provides information and support to help people in the four Atlantic provinces deal with the effects of climate change. On Tuesday, the group screened a 12-minute documentary highlighting adaptation actions in the region. The film features former Town of Sackville Chief Administrative Officer J.B. Burke speaking about the Lawrence Street Stormwater Mitigation Project.
Climate change has been a huge problem for Sackville. We're seeing more frequent and more intense rainstorms. The water is coming from, you know, a very, very, very large drainage basin and an area. So all of that water funnels its way down through natural and manufactured systems, both above ground and underground, and it all ends up accumulating down on Lawrence Street. Well, we needed somewhere for the stormwater to go. So there were really two options. One was to dig a hole and have that function as either a wet or a dry pond, or alternatively was to build a naturalized stormwater retention pond, which is exactly what we did.
And that was audio from Adapting to Climate Change, a short film with former Sackville CAO Jamie Burke speaking about the Lawrence Street Stormwater Mitigation Project. You can see the full 12-minute documentary by searching for Climate Atlantic on YouTube or by going to climateatlantic.ca. The group launched the short film alongside a new coastal adaptation toolkit, which is meant to help communities and decision makers, as well as coastal property owners, be aware of their coastal environment, the different adaptation options available to them, and the applicability of the options under different scenarios. For more details, CHMA spoke to Sabina Dietz, Executive Director of Climate Atlantic. This interview was recorded on Wednesday morning. If I could try to put it in a nutshell, the toolkit, it's basically an online system using a series of questions, like a sort of like a quiz, to help identify the best options for a given community or property owner affected by flooding or erosion, or how would you put it?
Yeah, no, I think you expressed it well. The only addition that I would put there, this is really a tool for a specific site. So it's not for an entire community or for an entire property that somebody may have along the shoreline. It's for one specific site that, you know, may be a piece of road. It may be a stretch of shoreline that's being eroded. So I think that's really important to note, because we're not, otherwise the tool will not work.
Right.
It works really well for that specific site.
Yeah, it makes a difference because you're really trying to narrow things down. It, you know, listeners can check out the system themselves at climateatlantic.ca/coastal-adaptation. I tried it out just before this interview. It asks you to identify, for example, types of natural features or engineered structures that might be protecting a given site, like sand dunes, which it says can buffer the land from flooding. Or what policies might be in place, like an emergency management plan. So I guess this is meant to serve as kind of a heuristic or something that can help walk people through the problem-solving process of dealing with floods or erosion, right?
Yeah, I think it's sort of the front end is the important piece, right, where you either as a small municipality who wants to check out on an eroded road site or something, where you actually step through and look at your property or the property or the site specifically. You really need to know whether, you know, there is something that's in front of your structure. You need to know whether you have sand or mud or rock or how steep your slope is, because all of those answers that you put in there will shuffle the responses around at the end, because at the end you get a PDF, and the PDF or the results page gives you the best options that are top on the list. And so that sequence of what comes up as your best option or what gets thrown out, and you know, there's some that says clearly avoid. So that really depends on the answers that you give. So I think it's a way of educating people as well about their own their own site that they're worried about, and then stepping through and making sure if you give the right answers to those questions, your answers in the output or in the results are going to be more accurate.
Right. You've got to have good information before you're going into it. And that's one thing that's interesting about the system, I thought, is that the questions include illustrations to help people understand the concepts and jargon. So one question is, what are the most common types of coastal environment at the site? And options include bluffs and intertidal flats. And there are some very beautiful photos of those kinds of features. Yeah. And so, you know, how important is it for people to learn to identify the features of coastal lands for this kind of work?
Yeah, well, it's we put the pictures in there on purpose because we're very, very much aware that if I say bluff or coastal, you know, foreshore, nearshore, people in general don't know this, right? So it's more because we need a common language and sort of, you know, being sure that, okay, if I talk about a bluff, this is actually what I mean by it in the tool, and this is what it will tell me later on in the output, in the documents that are associated with the tool. You know, it comes up again. It's not so much that people need to remember it. It's just we have to have a common language to talk about certain descriptions of areas, right?
And so for the hypothetical example that I used, the Q&A ended up producing this report. It's 25 pages long, listing possible coastal interventions or measures like dikes and drainage ditches that could be put in place. So just, can you talk about the report that the system generates and what it can tell a community or property owner about the steps they need to take? It does come with a disclaimer, which is probably important to mention.
Yes. So, and the disclaimer needs to be there. I mean, we're not saying, you know, you have this tool, you have the result, this list of options. Now go ahead and do your choice of the best ones. We really needed to say this is for educational purposes and information purposes. This is a first step, sort of an in between. You want to know what are your options, and then you have your list. And you can you then still need to go out and talk to an engineer, to the professionals who know what they're doing in the field. And some of those options, let's say maybe not top, but the number one option that you got out of the result, if an engineer looks at your site, they will be much more able to say, yes, this is the correct option, or no, this will not work for that and that reason. So every site is different, right? And you need the professionals to look at the site. And at the same time, the disclaimer is also there, because there are different regulations across the region. So New Brunswick has different coastal regulations from Nova Scotia, from Newfoundland. And folks who want to do any kind of intervention in that zone, they need to check what are the regulations at the provincial level. You know, who do they need to look to for making any changes in this coastline? And then also in terms of if you're in a municipality and you're a private landowner, you need to also check with the municipality, right? What kind of bylaws are in place? What kind of zoning is there? So you're not making mistakes. So that's why the disclaimer is there. It's really important. You mentioned the PDF or the output and the length of it, right? And it is really complicated. And that's where we're saying we know that, but we cannot simplify it so it becomes a useless tool. What we're saying is it's complicated, but Climate Atlantic is there to help either go through the tool, and we've done that in the test. We have undertaken about four tests before it went public, 40 tests across the region. And we've sort of tweaked it here and there because there were some issues, but we know this is not a simple thing to do. So we're there to help step through. We're there at the end. If there's help needed, there's a link to our help desk. Contact us, and we'll work through the output that you received. You know, why did this come up? What does this mean in the output at the end? When you went to the end, there's also a list of PDFs that you can download, like fact sheets for each of the options, again, with pictures, again, with a description. So we're not expecting this to be a standalone without any mentoring or moderation. We expect to get a lot of requests for help out of that.
And your organization serves the whole Atlantic region.
Yes, we do.
How did you come up with this idea? Is it being used elsewhere?
No, this is made in Atlantic Canada. Like I mentioned, it was developed more than 2013. So I would say not quite 10 years ago when it started. It was a long process. I was involved back then just in the sort of reviewing and so on. So Dalhousie University, St. Mary's University, and CBCL Limited were the three lead organizations that developed it. It was developed with all four provinces. So it wasn't, it was already back then seen as a really important tool to have a list of adaptation options. And we just knew this is one thing that we needed to update because it isn't in the region. We haven't, we didn't have anything in the region. I haven't seen anything like this in the other regions either. So it's good on Atlantic Canada.
Absolutely. And you spoke about this briefly yesterday, but I just wanted to ask you to elaborate a bit on the big picture, because this week the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released its latest report indicating there's basically not much chance of keeping the world away from warming by more than 1.5 Celsius, which world leaders had previously agreed they would act to avoid. What are the big takeaways from this latest IPCC report for you?
Yes, I mean it's a good piece of work because it's a compilation of what had already been released individual reports, right? So it's a synthesis report. I think it just reiterates. I think it needs to be reiterated that there isn't any choice about mitigating climate change, so about reducing our greenhouse gases. We know that there is no choice. And the other piece that is really clear is there isn't any choice about ignoring the need to adapt. And the report is also very clear that we're not done. It's not like, oh, throw up your arms and say, this is it. There is a lot of action that is happening across the globe, across Canada, across Atlantic Canada, a lot of action on reducing greenhouse gas emissions. It's just that it feels slow. And it's just that we all in the space and where we understand climate change, the urgency is getting greater and greater. And so, but I'm convinced that we can do it as a, you know, as Canada, as Atlantic Canada, as the Brunswick, we can do it. It's just, we need to really roll up our sleeves for this.
And that was Sabina Dietz, Executive Director of Climate Atlantic. You can try out the group's new coastal adaptation toolkit for yourself. Just go to climateatlantic.ca/coastal-adaptation.